On this episode of The Big Number, we dive into the stats to answer these questions. Just how rare is what Amen Thompson's doing this season with the Houston Rockets? And with the NBA trade deadline approaching, is there anyone more untouchable than him? That and more coming up right now. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to The Big Number, which you can catch here at Yahoo Sports every Thursday. Dan, it's trade deadline week. We've got lots to talk about, but we're going to go in a different direction. People are saying, hey, where's the latest trade rumors or what's the latest on the deadline? Who's going where? And we're doing a little counter-programming this week, and I'm sure you're cool with that. Are you cool with that? How are things going over there in your world, Dan?
It's good. I love Eurostep in the deadline. I love, you know, where there's going to be plenty of thoughts and plenty of digital ink spilled and vocals recorded about rumors and luxury taxes and check and apron avoidances and whatever the hell is going on in Phoenix. Let's do something different than that. And Tom, I'm doing great. I definitely feel like my energy is up. So let's put up some numbers. I want you to talk to me about what this number is this week. We're zagging. In which direction are we zagging?
We're going to zag in the direction of what a rocket would be, kind of up, right? We're going in that direction this week. Little tease there. Dan, this week's big number is 21, as in Amen Thompson's rank, an estimated plus minus, which you can find over at dunksandthrees.com. Basically an all-in-one metric that attempts to estimate the impact, the positive impact that a player creates on the floor. His rank in estimated plus minus is 21st in the NBA. Amen Thompson, okay? Already, the dude just turned 22 years old last week. He's putting up triple doubles. He's on a Houston Rockets team that is crushing opponents and doing it way, way quicker than we all expected. And the ascent of Amen Thompson has been a lot faster than I expected, that a lot of people expected. And so today we're going to talk about this dude, Amen Thompson. I know that it's trade deadline week, and so people are probably a little sleep deprived. And I know I am. Dan, everyone in the NBA space is basically running on no sleep. So I want to ask you, like, are you a coffee drinker? Like, how do you get your jolt of energy?
Yeah, I'm to an unhealthy degree. I think we're probably working on like, is it 3 cups today so far? Maybe more than that. I'm trying to like filter off a little bit just so that I'm not like overly jittery here. But we're rolling with just a quick little strawberry watermelon seltzer right here for the big number record, the official podcast of Seltzer. And but I will be going through caffeination. I kind of feel like though, if we're talking about a player that best embodies energetic caffeination, frantic style of play, Amen Thompson's a pretty good place to start.
Well, I was just going to say that like some people drink coffee. I drink coffee. Some people drink tea. Some people do Monster Energy drinks or Red Bull. I personally prefer huffing highlights of Amen Thompson. This dude, man, like so much fun to watch. I kind of call him Flubber Kawhi. Of course, the... the 1997 Robin Williams classic Flubber, where it just like bounces in random directions and just like you don't know where it's going, but you know that it's going to be really exciting and he's going to break a couple things, but he's also going to shatter your soul with how quickly he jumps, how fast he is, the force that he plays with, the unpredictability factor of like you're watching him move downhill and you don't know what's going to happen next. What he did to Precious Achiuwa at Madison Square Garden. Ooh. Was mean. It was straight up mean. He got him on ice skates, you know, in a Mike Tyson's punch out when you knock someone out and they kind of like go back and forth like this, you know, yep. And then they fall over. That's what Precious Achiuwa looked like when he was backpedaling when Amen Thompson had the ball firing downhill, doing these little jukes. And then he had the gall to dunk on him with two hands at the rim. You've watched a lot of games at Madison Square Garden, Dan. Like, how many times does the opponent do something where all the New Yorkers are just like, oh my God, oh my God. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And he does that every night.
Every night he's doing it. He's earning that kind of respect from road crowds. That's when you know you're watching something special, is when the home team is like, oh man, I can't even get too mad because what I'm watching is like causing a visceral reaction. And like, I can remember being in buildings where it's like, you know, Zion was getting that, Giannis was getting that, LeBron early in his career was getting that. Like, I'm not saying that we're talking about Amen Thompson on that stage, but also like, I don't know, man. The numbers maybe are telling us that maybe we are talking about somebody like that. 21st estimated plus minus at this stage in his career, like fringe top 20, second year of his career, just turned 22. That doesn't happen all that often.
Well, I'm glad you put it that way, because if you're 21st in EPM, you're 21st in any all-in-one metric, that essentially means that you're playing at an all-star level.
Yeah.
He's 22 years old, and there's only two other players in the NBA that are 22 or younger that are performing at a higher level, according to estimated plus minus. This is the predictive version, not the descriptive version, looking in the rear view. This is saying like what you've done, and based on your age and what we're seeing in the on-off numbers and the box score metrics, you're the 21st most positive impact player in the NBA. Well, he's third in the NBA among 22 or younger, Victor Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren. And Chet, like, Chet hasn't been playing much this season. So you could argue that in terms of 22 or younger, Amen Thompson is only bested by an alien, Victor Wembanyama. He's 99th percentile in defensive estimated plus minus. He's at this point 87th percentile in offensive EPM, and overall he's 97th percentile in EPM. So like, you're talking about a guy who came into this year who was kind of like a defensive like maestro, like a guy who's gonna just lock you up, block shots, chase you off the three-point line, do things that defensively would blow your mind. But now if you look offensively, what he's doing for the Houston Rockets, he is a primary ball handler for them. He is the guy that whenever they have a sideline out of bounds, he's passing in the ball, because his passing skills and his playmaking skills have gotten so good that they're like, yeah, you create the offense now. Like, you're that good of a passer. The force that he plays with the ball is like, when he makes these passes, some of them, I'm just like, how did you get that ball from here to there that quickly? And how did you see that? He's doing these pump fakes where he's like, he's looking off a defender this way and then throwing it to the corner like he did against Brooklyn. And this high pick and roll he ran with Alperen Şengün, high pick and roll, and he looks off the defender to move him a little bit this way, and that way could open up the passing lane to Reed Shepherd in the left corner, and Reed Shepherd hits the shot. And you're just like, oh, how did he do that? There's dump passes to Steven Adams, to Şengün, that you're just like, how did he get that around like six defenders to get the ball there? And when you look at the metrics, his time of possession in the first month of the season, in October, he had 1.9 minutes time of possession. The ball was in his hands for less than 2 minutes per game. In November, it went to 2.5. In December, it went to 2.4. So hovering around 2.5 minutes per game. In January, it went from 2.4 to 3.6. And in this month of February, just three games, but in the month of February, it's at 5.9. That's crazy. That's wild. Like, that's top 25 in the NBA. Like, he is now going from a role player, like a Tony Allen type, where you just know you're going to get all world defense, but like, let's not trust the ball in his hands too much. Now he is like a primary ball handler for the Houston Rockets. So Dan, I guess what I'm trying to get at here is a little bit trade deadline-y. Like, we're going to loop it in with a little bit of trade deadline here with this question. We just saw Luka Doncic get traded. There's no untouchables in the NBA. But just if we're going through this like framework of like who's the most untouchable player in the NBA, it's a short list ahead of Amen Thompson. But how many players would you say are more untouchable than Amen Thompson right now, playing as a 22-year-old for the Houston Rockets and doing the things that you've been seeing recently?
Yeah, if you're starting from the position of like your supermax guys who've been the best player on a championship team, right? Like, it's going to start with Jokic and Giannis. You are going with Wembanyama as, you know, the sort of vanguard. If you're talking about somebody below like supermax player, and I mean SGA in that framework, below that, and you know, like the non-Wembanyama division, I don't know that there is one. There are, because you're talking about for multiple things, there's the component of he is on a rookie contract and under team control for the foreseeable future. And so he, you know, you whatever Amen Thompson turns into, you get to be the one, you know, reaping the benefits of that for years to come. So that's incredibly valuable, obviously. Also, as you're saying, he's basically growing in real time where you have no idea what, I mean, the trend line is just basically going straight up right now. It is a rocket launching. And you're saying, what could this be? A 6'7" primary ball handler who's also an elite point of attack defender who can play all five positions, who can kind of do not everything, and we'll talk about it, almost everything there is to do on a basketball court, and who just keeps getting better and better, and who has very clearly already earned like complete or near complete trust from somebody in Ime Udoka, who is not necessarily quick to grant trust, right? You need to earn that from him, and he's got it completely. He's playing 37, 38 minutes a game, and as you said, being the top creator and the top defender, this level of production for a guy who's still figuring it out, when you can already do everything at like a good to great level, again, with one major exception that we'll get to, the sky is the limit for that. I don't even know necessarily what the point of comparison would be, because it's like, what if all of the coolest players that I've liked for the last 15 years really got to where like their 99th percentile outcome? And we haven't seen that very frequently. And that does feel like what we're seeing now. The caveat is, of course, we're building a lot of this on what has happened since he's been like the main guy in the starting lineup since January 1st. So small sample, only 15, 20 games, whatever it is. But what we have seen recently, based on building on what we saw the last first year and a half of his career, suggests that we are talking about an extremely special player who might be just scratching the surface of what he can do.
Yeah, when you throw in the age, when you throw in the contract, it's 10 players, maybe more untouchable than Amen Thompson, which is crazy to think about from where he was at the beginning of the season to where he is now. Like you say, all right, would Anthony Edwards, if they were offered Anthony Edwards for Amen Thompson, you'd be like, yeah, they might do that deal. Victor Wembanyama, they might do that deal. Giannis, but the list gets really interesting around like 10, 15 players deep in that little exercise there. I think it is kind of close. And I don't want to do recency bias. And speaking of recency bias, it's in the last 15 games since basically the calendar turned to 2025, he's averaging 17.6 points, 10.3 rebounds. He's 6'7", 10.3 rebounds, 5.1 assists, 2.2 steals, 1.4 blocks, and by the way, he's shooting 52.7% from the floor. 18, 10, 5, 2, and 1.5. Like, that's Kirilenko numbers, right? And he's just getting started. He's 22. So we'll talk about all of it after the break. We'll get into your four little numbers, but Amen Thompson is not just so much fun to watch. You just kind of feel like we're at the ground floor of like maybe Kawhi, maybe Jimmy Butler, maybe better. Like, I'm not really sure where it goes. We'll talk about his full repertoire of skills, everything he brings to the table when we come up after this break. Your four little numbers, Dan. All right, Dan, four little numbers, Amen Thompson, hit me. What do you got?
Well, first thing I'm going to do, Tom, is I'm going to cheat because our first little number is two little numbers, 2.5 and 3. That's Amen Thompson's steal rate and block rate, respectively, to this point in his career. That means he's coming away with a steal on 2.5% of opponents' offensive possessions and blocking a shot on 3% of those possessions when he's on the court. Going through StatHead's database, there's only 8 other players that have career steal and block rates in that neighborhood while playing as many minutes as Amen does. And we've mentioned those minutes numbers are skyrocketing now that he's in the starting lineup and Udoka's force feeding him. The players
This is not age filter. This is just at any point in their career. For the full career.
So yeah, I mean, Amen has the benefit of only being a year and a half so far, but career block and steal rates, 2.5 and 3. They are some of the coolest, weirdest, and most athletic players of my lifetime. Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, Ben Wallace, Sean Kemp, the aforementioned Andre Kirilenko, Andre Drummond, who everyone talks about how great his hands are for a big guy, Josh Smith, who I feel like we've mentioned multiple times on the big number, which is kind of surprising, and DeMarcus Cousins. That is like just the vibe array of that group is incredible. And that's the company in terms of what shot blocking and stealing Amen Thompson's doing. We hear sometimes about like event creators, like it's a scout kind of term on defense, somebody that creates events on defense. Amen Thompson certainly seems to be one of those. What does a disruptor like that do for a defense? And what has he meant for Houston's defense this season?
Well, if you have a disruptor like that, you can get a lot of efficient points the other way. It's almost like those blocks and steals are almost a an offensive stat. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's a good point.
For a Houston Rockets team that has a little bit of trouble of scoring efficiently in the half court when the game slows down, your whole lifeblood is getting those offensive opportunities in the open court. Get those fast break opportunities, get out and use that athleticism. Like, one of my favorite little factoids was actually started from KOC. On the KOC show, he was asking Todd Whitehead over at Sport Radar. He looked at the players with the most like 24-inch jumps in the NBA and looked at their median time of when they get to that jump and get to like 24 inches in the air. And Amen Thompson was second in the NBA in quickest jumps behind Bilal Coulibaly. And that's just like perfect. Like the idea that like you see it and then the numbers back it up. And it's just he creates these steals and these blocks out of nowhere. And it's maddening. You know, you talk about like just the efficiency aspect of it, of like getting out in transition. But you also talk about it from a demoralizing standpoint, you know, where it's just so deflating to think you have a pass or think you have an open layup. And here comes Amen Thompson. And it's just like, no.
Hey.
So like, we can talk about the analytics of it, but also there is just this emotional impact that Tari Eason, Amen Thompson, and of course there's Dylan Brooks. This Houston Rockets team just breaks you, and Amen Thompson's a big part of that shattering.
The fundamental thing that's been underpinning their success all season long is that they have been a top five defense. They were great last year as well, but reached up to a new level, top five on the defensive end, which then has vaulted them. And I wrote about this. I actually forgot that I wrote about this because trade deadline week, my brain is melting. Like a month or so ago, the Rockets shouldn't be a top 10 offense, and yet they are. And a big reason why, some of it is offensive rebounding, and a lot of it is, as you're mentioning, their defense creates opportunities for easy offense, and they make the most out of it, especially when Amen Thompson is on the floor. Speaking of that defensive, the vice kind of grip that Houston can put on you, our second little number, 80, as in 80th percentile or better. Here I am cheating again. Amen Thompson ranks in the 80th percentile or better, according to our friends, the B-Ball Index, in perimeter isolation defense, average matchup difficulty, defensive playmaking, including stuff like deflections, blocks, and steals. Ball screen navigation. You cannot get this guy stuck on a screen. Passing lane defense and rim protection. So he is a B or B plus or better defender in virtually every kind of defense that you can have. There's only two other players in the 80th percentile or better this season. One of them is Alex Caruso, who we know, his resume and his work, all defensive player. Other one, sneakily, Javante Green in New Orleans. If you haven't watched the Pelicans, haven't watched Javante Green's work recently because they're awful, he's a fun vibe. And then again, going back to the fun, weird name category, the Basketball Index's or the B-Ball Index's database goes back to 2014. So I zoomed out and was like, who else has hit the 80th percentile or better in all these things since then? The vibes are nuts. You mentioned Tony Allen earlier. He's there. Fellow Grizzly on a very different end of the temperamental spectrum, Kyle Slow-Mo Anderson. Also, the Brooklyn versions of both Bruce Brown and Sean Livingston.
Okay.
And most exciting, I think, for what we're talking about with Amen Thompson, 24-year-old, just reached the all-star level Paul George. Wow. And I think when you look at a guy, you think about, you could not screen him off. You could not. And he was using that length and that wingspan to create blocks and steals and deflections, get that Indiana Pacers team off on transition, and then being fed the ball on the other end to grow his offensive game. It does feel a little bit like what we're seeing from Amen Thompson. So just if you have, we mentioned earlier, Udoka, really, you got to earn his trust. the fact that Amen Thompson has come into the leagues able to seemingly do everything on defense, it's got to be a pretty rare thing, especially for a guy this young, right, Tom?
That's what you're describing is the flubber part of this, yes. Where he just kind of finds his way around everything and right. jumps everywhere. And it feels like also the Kawhi factor where he's so mild-mannered and he's not like a guy who's going to wear his emotions on his sleeve, where he's just a machine defensively. Like he's programmed to play optimal defense, you know, where it's just like right out of the box. He's perfect defensively. Like he's 22. There's some moments where he's overly aggressive or he tries to block something where he probably should have just stood down. But it's not often. And I think when you look at Amen Thompson, the desire to be great defensively, I think is so underrated. Like you look at Tamani Kamara over in Portland. I watch yes. him every single game. You look at Amen Thompson, Herb Jones, these guys live and breathe to just lock you up defensively, right? And that's so underrated as a skill. From that mold, you can build an offensive, positive offensive player. And it's so rare because everybody can get 20 in college. Like anybody who's in the league, they can give you buckets, right? It's the guys who are just going to dig in defensively and make your life a living hell. Those are the guys, the dogs that you want on your team, the Alex Carusos, the Lou Dorts, and Amen Thompson's already there. And the scary part is the offensive side, which is just starting to come together. And yeah, Kawhi Leonard probably had a better jump shot out of the gate coming from San Diego State. But Amen Thompson, I'm not putting a lid on this dude.
Nor should you, but we should get into that scary part with our third little number, 0.764, very little, significantly sub one. That is how many points per shot Amen Thompson is scoring on jump shots this season, according to our friends at Synergy Sports. Of 248 players who have taken at least 100 jump shots, that ranks 244th. There have only been four players below where Amen's at. Wendell Carter Jr. and Jonathan Isaac of the offensively destitute Orlando Magic, Jazz rookie Isaiah Collier, and actually teammate Alperen Şengün, also shaky on his jumper. That is bad. And yet, we're going to find the silver lining here. Amen's true shooting percentage, which factors in your 2-point, 3-point, and free throw accuracy. So the whole thing. 599, like just under 600, which is typically a marker of like elite shooting efficiency. It's well above league average. The Rockets score more with him on the court than off it. Their efficiency as an offense is better with him on the floor than off it. And as you mentioned, advanced metrics like EPM and box plus minus, they paint him as a positive player on the offensive end. So A, how much hope do you have for Amen's jumper? And B, is it possible that he could even reach that star potential without a great jump shot?
Look at Giannis, right? Like Giannis was an MVP, defensive player of the year, champion without a reliable jumper. And it took him, what, 10 years almost to really get a good mid-range jumper? And he's Giannis. You know, right. Like he might be mini Giannis. You know, I call him Flubber Kawhi, but he might be just mini Giannis where it's like you can't stay in front of him. He's way stronger than you and he plays with such a force that he's going to break you. And also when you watch him playmake against the Knicks most recently, even against Brooklyn, he had a bunch of ill-timed turnovers. But they're rondoing him a little bit where they're playing off of him.
Yeah, trying to like go under the screens on him.
If you give him any sort of downhill, Rondo didn't have this where Rondo didn't have the explosive athleticism that you see from Amen Thompson, where if you give him that runway, he's going to take off. I'm not worried about his offensive, like maybe in the playoffs, maybe you still need a Fred VanVleet, a Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, Reed Shepard is like a guy who can space the floor and kind of unclog that paint because Şengün's not going to be able to space with his three-point shot and Amen Thompson is not. But I'm not worried about it because of the offense and transition and his ability to play make when they play off him. You're just kind of daring him to make these bullet passes that he's been so good at recently. His turnover ratio, excellent. So like, yeah, he might need a jumper eventually to reach into that like MVP caliber player. But right now, as the metrics are showing you, the dude is all-star caliber right now. All-star caliber without a jump shot. I think he's had three made three-pointers in his last 18 games. Three threes in his last 18 games. In today's modern era, where the mother's milk of a great offense seems to be three-point shots, you got Amen Thompson, who's one of the top 20 impact guys, without a jump shot to be seen. So this is like the worst he's going to be. And I feel like once he starts stepping into a jumper with all the space that they're giving him, he's going to be an MVP caliber player.
We're going to give you two little like sub numbers on this one quickly, and then we'll move off of it. 11, that is where Amen Thompson ranks in free throw attempt rate this season. So that's another sort of hidden version of where the points are coming from, is he gets to the line a ton for somebody,
Giannis,
especially now as he's on the ball.
Yep.
The guys above him, it's all centers, then Giannis, Jimmy Butler, and James Harden. So in terms of, you know, where, how frequently somebody is getting to the free throw line compared to how often they're taking their shots, he's there a ton. And that is we've seen a pretty, really powerful indicator of offensive efficiency and effectiveness. Our second sub mini number here is 100 plus. And that is 100 plus second chance points, 100 plus points off turnovers, and 100 plus fast break points. There's only 10 guys in the league that have hit those marks. Jokic, Giannis, SGA, Pascal Siakam, all-star this year. Julius Randle has been multiple-time All-NBA. Mikal Bridges in New York. Victor Wembanyama, you heard of him. Michael Porter Jr. playing off of Jokic and all-star Kyrie Irving. And then Amen Thompson. So he is already the diversity of buckets, the ability to get out hit the offensive glass, get out in transition, be the one who's creating those opportunities off of turnovers. And also, by the way, he's scored more points in the paint this season than Jason Tatum and Rudy Gobert. So like, he's getting all over the place to score, even without the jumper. He's finding ways, as you mentioned, even when you duck under on him, he's going to get where he wants to go. And he's got the athleticism to go over the top and the touch to convert. So there's a lot to love. And I think the hope would be, if somebody's already this kind of worker and this talented, the jumper will come in time. And, you know, to be passable enough to where you're going to have to make some awfully difficult decisions on how you guard him. Which brings us to our fourth and final little number, 0. As a starter this season, you mentioned earlier, he's really taken off since January 1st. Amen Thompson as a starter, averaging more than 17 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block per game. The list of players in NBA history to do that over the course of a full season does not exist. 0.
Wait. Like 0, like what would be the disqualifier there? The steals, I'm guessing? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the steals.
Yeah, I mean, it's all to do all of it together, to be reaching, just hitting those marks. And we can say, you know, that, you know, you cherry pick random points, but the point is that where we are with what he's able to do, he's, you know, getting up closer to 20 points a game. He's already a consistent nightly double-double threat. The more he's given the opportunity to handle the ball and create, the more effectively he's doing that without losing a thing on the defensive end. Maybe this is a small sample statistical anomaly blip, Tom, but is there a chance that we're seeing a kind of player who's putting things together in a way that maybe we haven't seen before?
I would love to see like what Kirilenko would do in today's era. And yes, it probably looks a lot like Amen Thompson. It's just, if we can appreciate what he does without having to run through all these sets, if they were just space and actions rather than, you know, Jerry Sloan's offense that can get pretty involved. If you just were like, hey, Kirilenko, why don't you go create, see what happens? That's where we're at. I feel like Amen Thompson, the fact that he came in with such little offensive responsibility, where he was just like kind of like a secondary guy, putback guy. By the way, one of my favorite things about Amen Thompson is just like the putbacks where most guys are just like grabbing it, coming down, and then like doing this and then a little hook shot. He's just like, boop.
Yeah.
Just like
gets up enough that he can just put it back while on the way up still. Yeah. It's preposterous.
He did this thing the other night to Tim Hardaway Jr. We have to come up with like a name for this, where he's getting so high up in the air on these dunks that he's almost spiking the ball in your face. Like, he's getting so high up on these dunks, he's like throwing it through the rim, but it's hitting Tim Hardaway Jr. in the face. And like Shaedon Sharpe, Amen Thompson, like who else can get that high up where he's spiking the ball in your face? And that's so, so disrespectful. But he's doing it. Like, I think he's coming up with ways to invent how to disrespect opponents that we haven't seen before. And like, he's going to get better. He had 1.9 minutes of ball possession to start the season, and now he's possessing the ball more than Jokic, than Bam Adebayo, than Donovan Mitchell. That's a real stat. Donovan Mitchell has the ball in his hands for less time in his last five games than Amen Thompson this season in his last five games. That's where we're at. So with your four little numbers, with today's big number, I'm convinced that Amen Thompson, he's got a super high ceiling, and I'm willing to say there's only a handful, maybe two handfuls, like two of these things with players who are more untouchable than Amen Thompson. Dan, we got to do some over-unders, unfortunately, but we also have some trade analysis we got to do. It's trade deadline week right after the break. Joel Embiid, what are you doing, man? I know you listen, Joel. I know you listen to the pod.
Hi, Joel.
Come on. First game back, triple-double? Last week, we did the triple-double over-unders, and we picked three players. Paolo Banchero, LaMelo Ball, Joel Embiid, 0.5 triple-doubles for the rest of the season. And Embiid, I was like, I'm not seeing it. And in his first game back, he has another triple-double. So now, I got to say, over-under scoreboard, 19-16. You're winning still, thanks to that Joel Embiid. I know you watched every possession, just on the edge of your seat, watching whether he was going to get that 10th assist. So, Dan, you can take your victory lap now.
This is just an argument for the benefit and the power of the emotional hedge. We do a podcast about numbers, but sometimes feelings must trump them. And in the search for that vibe, I did come away with a pretty big number in the Joel Embiid triple-double. So I'm pretty thrilled about it. I think we've established for weeks on end now, I'm a gravy train on biscuit wheels at this point. I'm on a runaway track. I'm not going backwards at all. Tom is going to be chasing me the entire season in the over-unders, and it's going to be pitiful and frankly empathetic to watch. But I got to say, I respect his efforts and that he's not, you know, winding up on the trade block this week himself for the awful over-under picks. But that's fine. I'm here. Joel, we're here. Everybody, we're find your emotional hedges and put them into practice this week.
Well, this week, as you mentioned, it is trade deadline week, and there was a trade that went down that we should probably talk about here. Daniel Theis traded to the... Oh, sorry. Let me get my notes out here. Chris Middleton has been traded from the Milwaukee Bucks to the Washington Wizards. Poor Chris Middleton goes from a championship contender to the Wizards after two ankles... Both ankles were operated on. The trade involved Kyle Kuzma going to the Milwaukee Bucks to play next to Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Bucks also sent their first round pick, AJ Johnson, a pick swap to the Washington Wizards, and the Washington Wizards in return, along with Kyle Kuzma, Patrick Baldwin Jr., and second round draft compensation to Milwaukee. Dan, my first thought about this deal is it might be the deal before the deal, because this deal is really all about cap stuff. I hope they're not going to lean too much on Kyle Kuzma, who, according to Basketball Reference data, they have this metric called points added above average, meaning how many points have you added above league average shot efficiency. He has been below average in shot efficiency to such a degree in his career that he's actually negative 446 points of points added compared to league average, based on how inefficient he is from the floor on twos, on threes, and at the free throw line. He barely gets to the free throw line. So yes, he is a bucket getter, and he might average 20 points a game, but he does it while requiring 20 shots a game. This guy is an inefficient shooter, volume shooter, in my opinion. He's not a great ad for this championship-chasing team, but he does come at a cheaper number than Chris Middleton. So, Dan, what this does is it allows the the Milwaukee Bucks to aggregate contracts to send out. They're below the second apron now. And really, to me, this is about the next move than it is about this one. But are you more sympathetic to the Bucks acquiring Kyle Kuzma than I am, who I think he is just a gunner? And I don't really feel like he's someone that is going to contribute at a high level to a championship level team. He did it as a youngster coming off the bench for the Lakers, but that was a long time ago, and he hasn't been very efficient since.
You know, it's kind of wild. I forget, because he had spent a while in college. He was a youngster then, but he was 24 on that Lakers team, right? He's 29 years old. I think he's younger than he is. Maybe it's the sweater. I wouldn't say I'm super optimistic. I think the argument here, if you are making the optimistic argument for Kuzma in Milwaukee, it's Chris Middleton has been, as you mentioned, he's coming off the double ankle surgeries earlier. There's been, you know, wrist surgery. There's been knee issues. There's been MCL sprains. He's had so many different things happen basically since that championship run that we're at the point now where he's, you know, 22 minutes a game off the bench. And he's been great a lot of games in those minutes off the bench. And he's obviously a much higher level playmaker. He's got so, you know, a decade plus of reps with Giannis, the institutional memory, and obviously a more consistent floor spacer, and it's a better shooter. But he's not a reliable big wing at this point to like stay healthy and play a decent amount of minutes. And I think the idea is, A, Kuzma back in like a winning, meaningful context could play a more significant role like he did as a rotation player on that Lakers team in the bubble. And if he's like a big, sturdy wing that you feel comfortable moving from the three to the four, it maybe opens up more opportunities for you to play Giannis at the five, which has often been one of the best lineups that Milwaukee can get to. If you are playing teams where they're going to try to, you know, play smaller and spread you out, you don't have to worry as much about Brooke Lopez and drop coverage. And like, maybe you can be better equipped to play some of the team, what, like at Cleveland with all the shooting, like Boston that Milwaukee might have to see, like the Knicks with Karl Anthony Towns that the Knicks might have to see. And so I think that's the glass half full, hopeful look at it. What that will require is not only Kyle Kuzma to be better than he's been in 5 years, it needs him to be better, like the best version of himself as an offensive player, while also accepting that smaller role, while also being willing to do a lot of defensive dirty work that, frankly, nobody in Washington's really needed to the last couple of years, because none of those games actually mattered. So I think it is unlikely that this is going to be the Bucks were in a position where they had to make a gamble. And the Bucks have made gambles like this at a lot of trade deadlines, lest we forget, you know, 53 million second round picks for Nikola Mirotic and Jay Crowder, right? Like the Bucks, when you go all in on Giannis, then you go all in with Damian Lillard, and you are trying to fill in around it. Sometimes you're left making you're not necessarily shopping at the top of the market and getting the most appetizing option always. We had heard rumblings about maybe they would be a Jimmy Butler team. We'd heard rumblings about some other opportunities. Kyle Kuzma winds up being the move. It costs them the third leading scorer in franchise history. I think people don't realize that. The only people who've scored more points in a Bucks uniform than Chris Middleton are Giannis and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So it costs a lot, but if the gamble pays off and Kuzma balls out and you're able to play smaller more effectively, it could wind up paying dividends in the Bucks playoff hunt. But yeah, consider me skeptical about it.
I'm skeptical, but like you said, Chris Middleton wasn't giving much at all after his injuries. It's sad because of how good he was during their championship run and how good he's been over the years, especially in the playoffs. He's so essential to what they do, and it's a real shame his body isn't holding up anymore. I hope he can, you know, find this like next, you know, another wind in Washington and figure things out and come back. But, you know, Kyle Kuzma, he's also got a contract that pays him cascading numbers. So if you look at his contract going forward, it's $23 million this season, then it goes down to $21 million in the following season, and then in 2027 it goes down to $19 million. So it's a descending contract when most other contracts are ascending. So it's going to be a little bit more palatable going forward, even than it is today. So even if you are kind of like, wow, this is not working out, it's only chewing up $20 million on your cap, and the cap is going up pretty dramatically in the next couple of years. So Kuzma to Milwaukee, not one that's going to move the needle, but it's going to be interesting to see if they can take Connaughton, and Bobby Portis combine those salaries now and try to upgrade and get that third piece. I don't think the third piece is Kyle Kuzma. Sorry, Kuz, love your sweaters, but don't think there's a big three in Milwaukee, no matter how many memes or how many graphics will do that on Clutch Sports. Clutch Points is what I meant to say. Hey, so I just want to say, Daniel Theis going to the Thunder and they're getting second round compensation for it is just amazing. The fact that like the Thunder are just like, let me get my third string center and also I'm going to get up another second round pick is just so presty. It's so great.
I mean, listen, at this point, it's ridiculous to me that Oklahoma City is the team that can be like, yeah, no, we'll help you bail you out of your salary, your luxury tax hell. While also being, you know, leading the West by a million games and being the favorite to win the championship. We've entered a really, I mean, there's myriad ways in which we've entered a strange world this trade deadline week, but Daniel Theis certainly is part of it. So I don't know, who knows where everyone will be by the time this actually comes out and by the time we get to the 3 p.m. deadline. But Daniel Theis, also nice little glow up from you going from New Orleans to Oklahoma City, having the opportunity to go from a 12-38 team to a team contending for a title. Nice work if you can get it.
All right, that'll do it for us this week on The Big Number. I'm Ben Thompson. I'm not going to do an over-under because, you know what? We did a bunch of over last week.
More. Bigger and it. Higher and faster and stronger.
No,
all
it.
Of it.
I'm over it. I'm over yeah. it. Dan, I'm over until next week. We'll probably bring it back. Enjoy the trade deadline. Please get some sleep out there. I am running on empty. We're all running on empty, but we want to bring you these numbers and we want to bring you the information like we do every week here. Go subscribe. Please leave a review. It really helps the numbers and making sure that we are able to do this with you guys every week. Thanks to Emmy and the whole team behind the scenes who are putting this podcast together. And thank you to the audience who have already rated this podcast 5 stars and told everybody. Enjoy the trade deadline. Get some sleep, Dan. And I'm going to go huff some more highlights of Amen Thompson.
I'm going to huff something else. Take it easy, everybody.